It turned out that even though we didn't have the atmosphere to worry about, the Hubble Space Telescope still had its own oddities. And there were things that we learned about Hubble that nobody had thought about before, because nobody...
...not matter. And having been at Oxford, then Germany, your next role took you further afield. You started a fellowship at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver.
Or dense clumps of clusters, sort of all together. Just imagine a really, really dense region of the universe with thousands of galaxies in
so
it.
So galaxies have billions of stars. A cluster...
We found that, yeah, as the gravity of the dark matter pulled in the galaxies from the outskirts, they were changing and evolving. That environmental effect was changing their evolution.
Altogether, an international team to carry out the largest survey of its kind. This is using what's called the Canada-France-Hawaii Telescope, based on the peak of...
And the teams were really struggling with this data set. The problem is, when you scale up by 100, suddenly things that you thought weren't a problem before...
...were much more powerful.
By this point was working really well, but it took 5 years. And as a team, we rewrote the rule book on how to do this sort of analysis.
And by the end... I think listeners will also notice a trend here. More and more powerful telescopes mean better data, of course, but at the same time, increasingly difficult, more detailed analysis. And one in space. That's your current project, isn't it?
Yeah, that's my current. We have the Euclid Space Telescope that is up in space at the moment. Camera ever. It's got a Guinness World Record. And with that, we're going to be creating a movie of the universe. I'm so excited about this.
Wow.
Over 10 years, imaging the night sky. Huge camera, but the atmosphere in the way. So it's the combination of these two surveys is really what we need to do, because it's such a difficult question. It's one of my absolute heroes. I was reading an article by her the other day. Sadly, she's no longer with us. About when she was time in the Cascades underneath the telescope, thinking exactly the same thing.
Well, Catherine, alongside all your academic work, you were also a festival and subsequently in other venues around the country. How did you enjoy that experience?
Oh, it's absolutely petrifying, but also completely exhilarating. There is absolutely nothing more. Absolute joy. My big project that I'm working on at the moment is called the Scottish Youth Telescope Network, and we are busy installing telescopes. Perfect to have a telescope. And it's still early days, but so far, when the skies have cleared, the primary school children who have taken part have just found it as breathtaking.
That for you.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, it's 2025 and we've still got first female stories. I'm very honoured. I'm very pleased that to take physics at school. So that's what we need to work on to really shift the dials on those cultural misconceptions, to talk to their parents, you know, when they're still little.
In 22, you were getting into your role as Astronomer Royal. You won the Royal Astronomical Society's Herschel Medal for investigations of outstanding merit and observation.
Faster and faster each year, and yeah, then I caught COVID and spectacularly fell off the hamster wheel. Overnight, I changed from an beak.
Because this is long COVID, right?
Yeah.
This is not, you know, just a couple of weeks to get over it and then you're back on your feet again.
No, alas not. So I very quickly had to explain what was happening to my body was that it was on the spinning wheel of doom. You know, like your computer, when it stops working, it just has that spinning wheel of doom. Computer is in some external reality and it just needs rebooting. And I decided to apply the scientific method to this question. The book's going to be published next year.
And having what sounds like come out of that dark period, do you think you now exist in the real? You're suddenly and dramatically altered because of health problems.
Yeah, I think it's very easy to dwell on the things that you can't do.
Well, your world might look rather different today to how it did pre-COVID, but you're still working in the field you love. So tell me, Catherine, your wildest dreams...
At this stage, we don't know what they are. But I've got confidence in my particle physics cousins that they're either going to create or catch a dark matter particle, so at least answer that one. And we're already serious. Be fine.
Catherine Haymans, thank you very much for sharing your life scientific.
Thank you, Jim.
And thank you for listening. I'm Jim Al-Khalili, and my producer is...
I'll be joined by a panel of leading politicians and people from across Greenland and Denmark to discuss the challenges ahead for this self-governing Arctic territory.
...and wants to know. To understand why people frighten themselves for fun, I'll be visiting a lab in Denmark that studies recreational fear and having the pants scared off me.